Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us on this fourth day of November 2016. I'm your teacher, Josh, and I am on time, and I'm glad you're on time as well as we study a motivation lesson about improving our time management skills. I've got the same panelists from yesterday. Thank you all for joining us. We've got Joanna and Katie in their 1 week visit to Asia. Thanks for stopping in to Studio Classroom, guys.
Well, of course. I'd love to be here.
Have you enjoyed reuniting with old friends in Taipei?
Yes, definitely.
Has social media really changed the way you stay in touch with people? I mean, a lot of times you know everything about their lives, right? Thanks to Facebook and Instagram.
It's really helped, especially when you part ways and you move to a new country. It's really helpful for keeping up with old friends. And then it makes it more fun when you reunite later. We can, you know, catch up a bit. And it's not as if we haven't been talking for the past 2 years.
It is still weird to stand in front of them, right?
Yeah, it's like crazy. You know, I've personally been gone for a year and a half, a little bit more, and it's wild to see these people on Facebook every day, and then suddenly I'm back here, and they're in the flesh, and I can hug them and, you know, really catch up. And, you know, on social media, you always see the big parts of people's lives, but it's nice to sit in front of them and talk and, you know, what's really going on day to day, and so that's been great.
Very cool. Well, thanks for coming into the advanced class, too. Of course, Jo was hard at work on Let's Talk when she was here. And how much, you did some advanced teaching, right? But you didn't write or edit for advanced.
Rarely. I did the occasional edit, but mostly I was just doing radio for advanced.
What did you miss most being away from Studio Classroom?
I miss my friends. I miss showing up to work every day and just spending my day with friends and colleagues and just having fun doing our work together.
And Katie, of course, was the advanced editor. Did some radio, but very busy on the Let's Talk TV program. So I always thought it was amazing how you could balance speaking so slowly and simply to our Let's Talk students and then jumping into the advanced class.
Yeah, I kind of had to train my brain to go back and forth between the two extremes. But once I figured it out, it was a lot of fun. I loved both sides of my job, getting to film and getting to do the little bit higher level English things. I loved that part.
That's right. You had no TV background before you got here.
Yeah, that was a little terrifying at first. I think everybody knew how scared I was to do the TV show. And by the time I left, it just felt like second nature. And yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Do you miss that part of it?
I do, actually. I never thought I would. But like I said, it was just being in the studio with, you know, those guys all became my friends. It became a fun and exhausting day, but good memories to look back on.
And now you have to do your own makeup.
I know. What's that about? I miss someone doing my hair and makeup every day.
Well, we also have the new teachers back with us. They've been with us all week in their advanced class. Josh and Pauline, welcome.
Thanks. We're still really happy to be here.
Good to hear.
And we're glad that we're on time to catch Joe and Katie.
Well, it sounds like you're always on time, Josh.
Well, I try to be.
He is.
Has it been challenging being married to someone who runs a little late from time to time?
Well, I have to admit, when I was young, I used to be continuously late all the time. So while I may not have as much patience as I would like, I can always be a little bit sympathetic.
Mm. I didn't know that about you.
I try to keep it well hidden.
Well, we're glad you're here for day two of our lesson. It's a motivation article based on our author putting some skills to work to try to change a bad habit of hers, right?
Yes, the very common bad habit we learned. 20% of people in the U.S. suffer from being chronically late.
Do you think that's higher or lower here in Taipei?
I wouldn't know how to answer that. I haven't been here in so long.
I was a manager here when I left Studio Classroom. Well, we had a pretty sui bian culture where you could roll in whenever you wanted. So that's hard to say if necessarily. Yeah, I don't think it's like you mentioned Costa Rica yesterday kind of being sui bian, where you just kind of show up when you want. And Hawaii's like that, right, too, right? They call it island time, or just meetings happen when they happen, and people just cruise at their own pace.
It's very relaxed there. Mm-hmm. I visited once. It's very chill.
Would you like to live in a culture like that? Or would you like it to have some structure and people show up when they say they're going to show up?
I think I would need the structure. I grew up in a family where if we weren't 10 minutes early, we were late and we were in trouble. So I need definition. I need the time.
Well, our author is habitually late, and she has put the skills of a time management consultant to work. Her name is Diana DeLonzer, and she has a book there in the middle of page 12 called Never Be Late Again, 7 Cures for the Punctually Challenged. That's kind of a fun way to say that, right?
That just means that you're challenged. You have some troubles being punctual.
It's politically correct, right? We kind of use this as a kind of a funny way to call people. Instead of being short, we say they're vertically challenged. You know, ways of, you know, people don't want labels. You don't want to be called, you know, a late person. You're punctually challenged. Does that sound better, Pauline?
Well, at least it makes me laugh when I hear it.
Well, the first tips we got addressed quickly yesterday was what? Well, just in terms of figuring out the why. Why are you late, it says.
That's right. And they just want you to think about what's the reason behind all this? What are you doing that's causing you to run behind?
And some people are just scatterbrained and they just don't even know that they're late or haven't put much thought into it. Others are different, right?
Yes, we call them adrenaline junkies. They love the thrill of the pressure. Will I be late? Will I be on time? How much can I get done till the very last second? They enjoy that. They feel like they function well under that pressure.
Yeah, can I stop and pick up my dry cleaning before work or get one more errand in before I leave the house? And that can cause some issues. So one way to combat that, our author says yesterday, is to say no to some things. Right, Josh?
Say no to non-essential things, which is something that I had to learn to say no to try not to squeeze in too many tasks before I needed to be someplace.
Yeah, because I think we've all become multitaskers in this society. You know, we're constantly reachable, we're constantly communicating, we're bombarded with messages and media, and you rarely find time to just do one thing. Do you ever single task, Joe?
I try to, but it's extremely difficult. Even during my downtime when I'm planning to just read, it feels almost like a compulsion, like almost like I have to reach over and check my phone. Why am I checking my phone? It's 9 o'clock at night. I'm not going to answer anybody's emails, but I still do it. I still check it.
They say we check our emails up to 75 times a day. Whew. On your phones.
I would believe that.
I think I'm 150 times, but that's just so many times that you've been taking away, your attention has been taken away from what you're doing, which can be problematic, right? Especially if you're trying to have a relationship with someone or with your kids and you're constantly distracted by your phone. Well, our lesson has 4 more interesting tips for you to apply and hopefully improve your time management skills. We're up at the top of page 13, and we'll begin where you see the 4. Prep for success. Turns out Mom was right all along. Growing up, she'd insist I lay out my clothes for the next day on my bed, hoping it would cut down on the interminable waiting time for me to get ready for school the next morning. So, I reenacted her advice. Every night, I picked out my clothes for the next day. I put my keys, wallet, and iPhone in the same place by the front door. I kept my outfits as basic as possible. This saved me a ton of time and decision-making on hectic mornings. Get real about timing. Research shows people tend to underestimate how long a task will take them to complete, since we base our predictions on an overly optimistic view of the past. DeLonzer calls it magical thinking, something that chronically late people love to indulge in. To overcome this bad habit, I had to relearn how long certain tasks actually take.
Sure, Google Maps says it'll take 10 minutes to walk to that restaurant, but really, it's going to take 15. I got over my overly optimistic thinking, got on a new schedule, and ended up arriving a few minutes early almost everywhere I went.
So a good first tip actually starts with preparation.
Yes, we call it prep. Prep for success.
And prep is a short word for prepare, right? So to get ahead of something, to plan ahead. What does our author talk about her mom used to tell her, Josh?
Well, she likes to say that mom was always right by telling her to prepare everything the day before.
So think about your schedule. What are you doing tomorrow and how can you get ready for it?
In my life, I like to prepare my lunch beforehand so I can take it to work. Not only do I save time by not packing it the morning before, but when I don't have a lunch prepared, I'm often very tempted to buy it. And it saves me money by packing it ahead of time, and I eat healthier when I pack my own lunch versus going out for lunch and usually buying fried chicken.
How about you, Pauline?
Well, I really like that in the last reading we did yesterday that she talked about identifying your archetype, because I think this one is really clearly built for the absent-minded professor who's distracted, misplacing things, having a hard time getting everything together in the morning. And I'm glad she did that because it makes me understand also why this tip doesn't sound as important for me, because I know that I will do this sometimes, but because I have more of the adrenaline junkie in me, that just tells me I'll have more time in the morning to pack more things in before I leave. So I think it's a great tip for the archetype absent-minded professor, but hopefully she'll have another tip for the adrenaline junkie.
What kinds of things do you think about the day before you go to work, Katie? Are you wardrobe?
I do that. Also keep it pretty simple so I don't have to think too much. One thing I do is get the coffee ready. Get it in the coffee maker so in the morning I just have to wake up and hit the button and it's good to go.
Well, things like that will hopefully cut down on the interminable waiting time for her getting ready the next day. What's that word interminable mean?
Feels like it never ends. It just drags on.
And that was her mom waiting for her to get ready. Now who's waiting for you these days? Carpoolers? Nobody?
I'm an adult. I have to. I'm on my own now. I have to do it all myself. No one's going to help me.
Yeah, I've got coworkers that sometimes are waiting for me to get back to them on things, but that gets back to too many emails in my inbox. Well, it says, so I reenacted her advice. And that is a verb talking about doing something. Sometimes we talk about reenactments, usually with plays or famous events in history that you act out.
In Texas, you can see a Civil War reenactment. Everyone dresses up as soldiers and has a battle on a field somewhere.
I've heard about this. People take this really seriously, right?
They do, and I think not even just in Texas, but up in the Northeast, I feel like they have tons of reenactments up there.
Pennsylvania,
they
do. Yeah.
And they can be very specific about the reenactment. They'll go through the historical record of who died when and where, and they'll recreate that blow by blow and shot for shot.
Wow.
I'm from Montana. We don't do things like that, I don't think.
No, California's done either.
I've seen one. It's amazing. I recommend it to anyone.
Very cool. Well, in this case, she reenacted her mom's advice of getting ready the night before. So she picks out her clothes, she gets her keys and wallet and iPhone together, and something that you do as well, Katie, she keeps her outfits basic.
Yeah, this is a lesson that I learned probably in the last year or so. I keep my clothes simple. I have probably 6 rotating work outfits that I just switch in and out every 2 weeks, and it makes getting ready in the morning a breeze and just makes life a lot easier.
Or you could just be a guy and not care what you wear.
That's my secret.
A hard one for us to apply.
No, I know.
Expectations are different for
the
ladies.
We're so lucky, aren't we, Josh?
We are so lucky.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it says we save time and decision-making in those hectic mornings. Why are mornings so hectic?
We don't have much time. Most people wake up later than they mean to, and they are shorter on time than they think. They maybe they slept in, turned off the alarm clock. They're always so rushed, so it's always busier than you expect.
You are not an early bird, right, Pauline?
Definitely not. I'm a night cat. I learned that last
time. There we go. Yeah, Mao-Zi. Nice. So do you try to wake up as late as humanly possible?
Yes. That's why I was saying this tip may not work for me, because I will use that tip to lay out my clothes and have my food ready. But that, in my mind, just tells me I can sleep a little bit longer the next morning. So I think it's a very good tip, but I may need something else to go with it.
Well, our next tip says get real about timing. And we say that a lot, right? To get real about something.
Yeah, it just means, I think, understand the reality of the situation. Like, understand how long something will take.
Yeah, face the facts. You don't have more than 24 hours in your day. And you probably have a lot less than that in your morning to get everything done. Research, it says, shows people tend to underestimate how long things take to complete. Do you believe that, Joe?
I do. I believe that. Every word. It says, since we base our predictions on an overly optimistic view of the past. Oh my goodness, it only takes me 5 minutes to do my makeup. That's just false. It takes me 5 minutes to do one eye. That's just, yeah, I'm just being overly optimistic. No one's, you know, going to check me on that, but that's not true at all. It takes me much longer.
My wife is guilty of this. She works from home and takes on projects from her work, contract law, and she'll tell me, oh, I'm definitely going to have this finished by Saturday. And then Sunday night, she's still working on it. So I basically just add at least a day to every estimate she gives me of how long something's going to take, because she's always overly optimistic about the progress she'll make. DeLonger calls that magical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cute phrase, isn't it?
I like it.
You're living in a fantasy world.
I'm feeling magical.
Something that chronically late people love to indulge in. What's that mean, to indulge in something?
If you indulge in something, a lot of times we talk about this in terms of food or things that we really enjoy. It's like you do something that makes you happy. It may not be the best for you, but, you know, I like to indulge in a really good dessert sometimes.
Not always healthy one?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, to overcome this bad habit, our author had to relearn some things. She says, sure, Google Maps said it'll take 10 minutes to walk over to that restaurant, but she's not going to listen.
That's right. And I mean, I think that's a really good point that the author says there, is that a lot of times we do use Google Maps to find out how long it'll take to get somewhere. But what Google Maps doesn't tell you is that there's always going to be other factors that pop up. There'll be traffic, or there'll be huge crowds you have to fight through, or new roads or construction you have to go around. So you always have to factor in some extra time.
Or if you're brand new to the city, you still might get lost. That too.
That's true. That restaurant might not be there anymore.
That's true, right? As well.
You may have to find another one. So she got overly optimistic thinking out of her way, onto a new schedule. And what happened, Joe?
Well, she ended up arriving a few minutes early almost everywhere she went. It worked.
That is a good way to go through life. Not stressed. On time. Though sometimes I arrive too early at places. That can be frustrating.
That's why you always keep a book with you.
Oh, good idea.
I do that. It solves everything.
Excellent. You never mind being early.
Always have something to read.
Very cool. Well, we've got a couple more tips from Ms. DeLonger coming up in our second reading.
Use wait time wisely. Being late is a catch-22. Although I get anxious about it, I'm equally as anxious about arriving early. To remedy the latter, experts suggest being prepared to wait. Bring a book everywhere you go, or queue up a podcast series. While I was never quite early enough to spend quality time reading, I did look forward to listening to a podcast on my more leisurely strolls to the office. The takeaway: After 1 week of following these tips, I can't see myself ever going back to my old time-pressed ways. This experiment made me realize it's possible to feel more in control and less anxious on any given day. I also felt much more like a responsible adult when I consistently showed up on time to all my obligations, personal and professional.
Well, our next tip from our time management consultant is to use what wisely, Katie?
Use your wait time wisely. So this is what we just mentioned. If you get somewhere early, then you have some time to wait.
Wait time is actually a pretty common phrase in English, right? If you ask some, you know, when you'll be seated, or maybe you're on hold. Oh, we seem to spend a lot of time on hold with customer service, don't we?
You do.
And they say on there, your estimated wait time is 1 hour. That's a depressing thing to hear, isn't it?
Oh, man, that's when you start to multitask. So maybe you have the company on the line on the phone, but you might check your email since you're just waiting, answer some emails, paint your nails, cook your dinner.
That's right.
Whatever you need to do.
Use your wait time wisely, because being late is what, Josh?
Is a catch-22.
Yeah, this is a really common phrase in English that I bet you most Americans don't even know where it comes from. Because it's a book I never read, but it's a super famous one, and my two big readers in the room haven't read it either.
Nope.
No.
It's a classic, though.
It is. Joseph Heller, 1961, and I guess this is... I mean, the idea is very common now, more common, I think, than the book, this concept of something that is at the same time one way and the other, right? That it's like you're trapped in something that's both good and bad.
Well, it's also an impossible situation.
Right.
So it refers back to a certain part of the military that in order to be qualified, in order to do one thing, you had to be able to do the other thing first, but you can't be qualified to do the other thing until you've done the first thing.
Oh.
Literally an impossible situation.
Makes sense.
It's kind of like when maybe a teenager is trying to find a job. They're in a catch-22 where you have to have experience to get a job, but you can't get experience until you get a job.
Mm, good one. Good example of a catch-22. Like the chicken and the egg. Which came first? Anybody?
I still don't know the answer.
That's a good catch-22.
We'll ask God. Well, it says, although I get anxious about it, our author is equally as anxious about arriving early. So this actually stresses her out, which I find a little strange.
I can see how it might be annoying to wait around in your car or just outside for 15 minutes. Well, I'm early. Now what am I going to do? Just stand around? What do I do?
That's true. At restaurants, it can be a little annoying sometimes. You get there 15 minutes early because they don't want to seat you, and you're just going to go sit in the bar by yourself or at the waiting room.
It does remind me of another expression. It might also go back to the military where they say, hurry up and wait.
Mm.
Which is you rush and rush and rush in order to get to some place.
Yep.
But then you have to wait for forever in order for the next thing to happen.
Well, to remedy that, our experts have some suggestions.
That's right. And the first one is to bring a book with you everywhere that you go. I think this is mine and Joe's favorite suggestion.
It works so well.
But then you're at the meeting with a book in your hand.
That's what a purse is for.
Oh, well.
Or a bag, whatever.
Right. Josh, you have a book with you wherever you go?
I do actually have a Kindle app on my phone.
There you go.
So then I don't have to carry the book with me. I can just have the phone.
I actually like podcasts. I listen to 2 podcasts every day. And so, I usually listen to those when I'm exercising. But they're there if I need them when I'm waiting as well. While I never quite early enough to spend quality time reading, she does look forward to podcasts on a more leisurely stroll to the office. What's a stroll?
It's a walk.
Yeah. Where you're not rushing, right?
I actually use podcasts and other online videos when I'm waiting to try and practice learning Mandarin. And I would think for our English listeners, you could use it also to learn a new word for the day in English. And I think that's a great way to use little snippets of downtime.
That's right. Take advantage of your wait time. Well, the takeaway, the main point from this book is our concluding paragraph, and our author says she's followed 1 week of these tips, and she can't see herself doing what?
Ever going back to her old time-pressed ways. And I really like the phrase time-pressed here. You could also say that she's pressed for time, and that just means that you have a short amount of time to do a lot of things.
This experiment has made her realize it's possible to feel more in control and less anxious because she's not running late everywhere. She also feels like a more responsible adult and showed up on time to all of her obligations, both personal and professional. What are obligations?
Things that you have to do. They're not voluntary. You have to go.
Well, we hope Studio Classroom doesn't feel like an obligation to you, but we appreciate you being with us these last 2 days as we've learned some important ways on how to improve our time management. We're going to have a brand new lesson for you next time, so we hope you'll be back with us again in the advanced class. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.